This is episode 99 with Misha Mikhailin.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxas.
Welcome, everybody. Today I have with me an amazing entrepreneur, Misha Mikhailin. And Misha has been a serial entrepreneur for the last 22 years with 8 companies under his belt. He most recently co-founded Intently, which is a software platform that leverages virtual real estate to transform people's experiences with technology. Its vision board application to deeply connect its users with their goals and intentions by replacing adverts with pictures from the vision board. Welcome to the show, Misha.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother. Great to be here.
Hey, pleasure's all mine. So before we start talking about Intently, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, how you grew up, and what led you to your journey?
Yeah, you know, I've been an entrepreneur as long as I can remember, starting my first business when I was around 12. And before that, I was, I'm originally from Holland. I grew up both in California and in Holland, which is a really amazing experience. And when I started out on my entrepreneurial journey, I just never looked back. I really got just dove right into the idea of creating and building, and it's been a fun ride.
Now you say you dove right into creating. You knew early on that you wanted to really create products and you wanted to create services. You wanted to do something that where you could dictate your own terms. Is that correct?
Yeah, I definitely felt like I was unemployable by other people, that it was, you know, I was first just attracted to the freedom of being able to start your own business and being able to control your own destiny. It never occurred to me that life would work if I was working for other people. So I didn't see any other options.
It sounds like you made a few bosses, potential bosses, happy because, you know, he said you were unemployable. But okay, so the 8 companies, what was, tell me how the first 7 went through, and then, you know, what the journey behind each, because a lot of people say serial entrepreneur, and I always say there's always a journey, right? And there's always a lesson that you learn from each company you build. And I imagine that was the case in your experience, and I'm very curious to see if you have stories to share or, you know, experiences that made you become who you are today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's so many war stories and so many just stories and learning lessons along the way. You know, I feel like I've probably learned the most from some of my failures, and because they haven't all been successful. So, you know, some of my early companies, I learned that sometimes it doesn't pay to be too ahead of the curve. Like I launched an online Yellow Pages back in 1994. It was the first online Yellow Pages, and we were really like too far ahead of our time to make it work at that time. And I've had a few other startups since then that were a little ahead of their time. But my early learning lessons that I love communicating to other entrepreneurs that where I feel I really missed out was in finding mentors early and finding other people to support you on your journey. I think it's a lot easier now with the internet and social media and what have you to connect with people than it was when I was a teenager growing up. But, you know, I feel like my career took off when I really started bringing amazing mentors into my life to really guide me and support me in what I was creating.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think we live in such a world that's optimized for that, right? With digital media, email, and all that. But if someone had an idea and they wanted to reach out to, I don't know, not even Seth Godin, or someone that they feel like is on the level of what they want to do and is where they need to be, what would you advise them to reach out to? Because, you know, many times I imagine they get a lot of emails. but how can you
stand out? I mean, I think you have to be really realistic in assessing where you're at and reaching up to somebody that is kind of on that next stage on the ladder ahead of you.
Okay.
You know, so like, I mean, when I was 17 years old, I wasn't reaching out to Richard Branson now, but, you know, now I'm friends with him and I have conversations with him, hang out on his island, and, you know, he gives me advice and connects me to new ideas and people. So, you know, it's like, you have to like really look at, okay, this is where I'm at and these are kind of like the people I can access, and and always be bold, you know, reach for a couple rungs up the ladder, but at the same time, you know, be realistic as to, you know, where you're at. If you're starting your first, you know, business and it's a small kind of business, you know, reaching out to like Richard Branson or Seth Godin might not really, you know, be the best okay. next step.
Yeah, so just look at the immediate next step and look at someone that's a couple of steps ahead of you, and then, you know, learn from him or her, and then as you climb up the ladder, you can start to reach out to more. Or you could do like that mix where you could get lucky and Richard Branson might like what you said. Hey, I'm doing something at Necker Island. You are a startup that we would like to feature in a competition. Why don't you come? You never know. But so basically be realistic is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say be bold when doing asks like that, like getting in front of people, pitching your ideas. You want to be able to be bold and reach for the stars there. You know, when finding a mentor, somebody that's going to spend time with you and actually mentor you and support you, you know, I would say like mentors themselves want to mentor someone that's kind of at a level where they're able to like take what they're teaching them. Awesome. So, you know, kind of just looking at what's that next step for you. Who's that person you look up to that inspires you, that you're like, wow, if I had what they had, I'd be at the next stage in my journey.
Cool. Now let's talk web-based businesses. So I built a web-based business. You've built several. I know this is something you love talking about. What do you think is the natural first step for people that want to build web-based businesses, whether it's media companies, communities, or, you know, app-based businesses?
Yeah, I think the, you know, the biggest thing is really, you know, connecting to a need in a market and, you know, taking that MVP approach of, you know, creating something very quickly, putting it out there, testing it, making sure that people are interested in it, and then, you know, continual iteration. You know, I see a lot of people who create web-based businesses that spend years in development, and it, you know, by that time, the, you know, so much has already changed. So I think in this space, in this time, things are moving so fast, it really pays to be quick, be nimble, and iterate quickly.
So basically, you know, put a product out there, have it, you know, tested for validation, you know, see how many people like it or not, and don't waste too much time behind the scenes, because it is a digital revolution and things happen really quickly.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, because I mean... I remember when it was cassettes, then it was CDs, then it was DVDs, and it's, you know, it was Netflix, and I was working out today. I was thinking there will be a time when FaceTime would be like such an old thing, and I can't even imagine what that looks like. But, you know, you just have to really, really be aware that, like Nike says, you just need to do it, and you never know what could happen.
Yeah. Ow!
Okay, now, with venture capital funding, many entrepreneurs get into the stage from anywhere in the world. They have this idea. They feel like they've bootstrapped it to a point where they, you know, they can't fund it anymore, or they need maybe a bigger name to sort of get it to a different level. You know, if it's going on Shark Tank or just needing some big VC funding. What is your advice for this? Because there are many people that come up with different pieces of advice, and then I don't know if there's any one way, but I always feel like it's confusing because you hear so many different things. And you never know which one to choose.
Yeah, I say, you know, with VC funding, it's really like know what you're getting into. So learn about how the VC industry works, learn how their term sheets work, all their kind of liquidation preferences and the types of things they put in there. So you're, you know, learning from the experience of other people before you get in there, because, you know, that first time VC experience can be really brutal. So just learning from people that have done it, absorbing a lot of information, I think that's step one. And then step two with VCs is really building your network. You know, it's your chance of getting into a VC increases tenfold if you get introduced to a partner at a VC firm from somebody that'll vouch for you. Hmm. And, you know, it's like when you get to that level, it's like that person who's vouching for you, it's like they know the VC. So, you know, that's how you really get your foot in the door at those places. And so I would say, like, start investing and building your network early. Uh-huh. You know, that's something I started a little later in my career. And when I realized the power of it, I was like, wow, what would it look like if I started this 5-10 years ago? And, you know, but I would say start investing and building your network right away.
Right. Now, for those that are curious about investing, what is the difference between VC and angel investing?
You know, so angels are private investors, and a lot of angels will invest on like more of a convertible type note or safe note, which is my preference right now to raise money with. And, you know, the benefit of working with angels is you don't have to really spend all the legal costs and figure out all the rights and preferences of the preferred stock. A lot of angels are willing to walk into a round knowing that those rights and preferences get tacked on to the next round, that they absorb the preferences of the VCs that negotiate them. So, you know, I definitely think that, you know, unless you have something that's just ready to fly, that's like baked and proven, that the VCs, that there's some risk taken out of it, I think angels are always a great first step. And, you know, you want to work with angels that are angels, so somebody that looks at that investment as they're probably going to lose their money, that is realistic about that, because you don't want angels that are going to be, you know, hounding you and asking right. for lots of information and details at every corner, because you don't have the bandwidth as an entrepreneur to really support. You know, like I've got 15 different angels in my company right now, and you know, if all of them were inexperienced angels asking me for a lot of information, it would consume a big chunk of my time.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I guess that's the idea of believing in you and believing and taking that leap of faith in the idea that you can actually, you know, you can build out a project and you need some funding, and they're okay to take that calculated risk, so to speak.
Yeah, and the whole trick with the VCs is getting as much risk out of the deal as possible.
Really?
So like, yeah, I mean, you want to take out the risk for the VCs so you really have some leverage and you can command higher valuations. Because, you know, VCs are looking at things, they're managing money for pension funds and major stakeholders, and their whole thing is risk mitigation. So it's like they're first and foremost looking at the team. Like, has this team pulled it off before? Have they exited a company before? You know, once you've been through that whole journey, once you've raised VC capital before, once you've exited a company and had a decent exit, it just becomes so much easier to raise money. I've seen my friends that have taken companies public that could raise $1 million in 3 days now if they want to. It's crazy how much value the VCs put on experience, and it makes sense, you know, because if you've been through it.
Yeah. Do you think it's easy? Do you think it's always advisable to give away too much? What is too much equity, by the way? I was going to ask it's advisable to give away too much equity, but I don't know what too much equity would be in the case, because some people say 40%, keep that with the management. Other people say give VC at least 40% of the company.
Or, you know, it's going to be different for every company, because every company you're going to have, depending on how much cash you need, how many rounds you go. But I would say the kind of typical path is like, you're giving away somewhere between 25% and 35% at every round. So,
oh wow,
25% to 30% at every round. And, you know, if you're gunning for a $1 billion type business, you know, you're typically left with, you know, 10% to 40% at the end of the day.
Mm, wow. Okay. All right. Now, let's shift focus here a little bit to what you're doing now, intently.
Yeah.
And your amazing software platform. Why don't you talk about it and how it's really going to revolutionize people's experiences?
Yeah, so Intently, you know, it's what we're doing with Intently is we're getting rid of all the banner ads you see while you're online, when you're on your computer, and we're replacing them with content that you want to see, content that you love. So you can subscribe to all kinds of different content channels on Intently and basically get rid of these ads that are not serving you and put something in there that really inspires you. So, you know, our top users on Intently are like actually finding or creating content that's connecting them to their goals, to their intentions in life, or things that are helping them get past different limiting beliefs. So, you know, and the tool can actually reprogram your subconscious without you even doing anything. So, I have got an interesting story. When I had my first major Intently experience, I added a quote to my vision channel on Intently, and it said, "You'll continue to be tested until you're no longer triggered." And when I first saw that quote in my friend's Facebook feed, I was like, wow, that's really profound. Every time I get triggered by anybody, I'm being tested for something. And that, you know, it'd be good to think that way and question, what am I being tested for? So I added that to my Intently feed. And when it's on my Intently feed now, every single website I go to, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or my favorite blogs, I start seeing those images instead of my ads. So, you know, I would see that image every single day. And 3 weeks later, I'm having dinner with my mom, and she said something that just really triggered me. And instead of getting angry or upset or having it ruin our dinner, I instantly was like, what am I being tested for right now? And I was like, I'm being tested to be compassionate towards my mom because, you know, she's comes from a different generation from me than me. She sees things very differently, and it's really a test for me to practice compassion. And we had this amazing connected dinner after that point, and the next day I was browsing the web, and I saw that image, and I was like, holy crap, that shifted my dinner last night. And in the moment, I didn't even realize it. It was like planting that seed in my subconscious that was just there when I needed it. So, you know, Intently is a really powerful tool. You're basically taking the tools that advertisers use to get you to buy things and to connect with your subconscious mind through advertising, and you're taking ownership of it, and you're using a tool to like reprogram your life to show up however you want to show up in the world.
So it's subconsciously connecting you to your goals, like vision board.
Absolutely. Yeah, it works a lot like a vision board. It's like a vision board that follows you to every website you go to.
So what I'm thinking right now is, you know how those retarget ads are retargeted when you go there, you visit a website, and all of a sudden you see Express everywhere you go because, you know, there's a cookie that was planted there. Is that sort of what this does, where it's giving that image?
Yeah, the experience for the user is like that, except it's all your ad units. So any banner on every website becomes content you love.
So how has it been? How long has it been in production, or is it out there now?
Yeah, so we're in a public beta now, so we brought it public recently, and the beta group's growing really fast, and we're going to be launching the product in September. So so if you're listening to this in September, after September, we've already launched, and you know, just excited to really bring it out to the world and promote it and get this to the masses.
No, I'm definitely on it. It should be time to your release, so it'll definitely be around the same time. So people will be able to go to www.intently.com. Oh, wow. That is so simple. Look at that. Intently.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have plans to have it like an app, or is it going to be a website? And then
So right now it's like a web-based browser plugin. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of add it to your browser super easy from our website, or a little pop-down will come and it'll say, would you like to add this to your browser? And we're working on a mobile app as well. So the mobile app isn't out yet, and you know, but it's something that's in development. So if you sign up on the web, even if you're not or if you only use mobile, sign up via the mobile, and we'll send you an email as soon as our mobile app is out. And our mobile app's going to change out your lock screen when you unlock your phone with different inspirational images that you choose. So, it's going to constantly using that real estate to create a vector of inspiration in your life.
First of all, I'm definitely getting this, by the way. This is just, I mean, because every time I wake up, I wake up every morning just at Golden, because he has that daily, you know, 6 a.m., 5 a.m., you know, message. So I always look for positive affirmations, and I'm always looking for like a good way to just have positive affirmations whenever I wake up. So it'd be cool to be able to just log into, read emails, or just check out something and have this image or quote or anything just be reminded about, you know, how awesome we can be if we truly tap into how great we are. So
yeah,
I'm in there.
Awesome. Excited to have you on board.
Hey, anything I could do to help. Now, Misha, your background, right? Dutch, help me out here. Californian?
Dutch, Russian, Armenian. Oh. I was born in Holland. I lived in Iran for a few months, and then came over to California, and spent a lot of time growing up in Holland, back and forth in California. So I'd go up there for my summers and spend like 3 months out there in the summer and get to know my family, because all my family was pretty much back in Holland.
What was that like? What was that like growing up?
You know, it was such a great experience. I felt so blessed to have that, because you would see the nuances of how cultures are different, and it really got me thinking outside the box and entrepreneurially, because you realize that people just kind of show up based on like the norms, cultural norms and ways of being that are expressed within that culture. And you realize you don't have to fit into those boxes, that you could totally create your own world, you know. But sometimes when you're just in one kind of this myopic kind of view dynamic, like you don't realize that there's so much power we have to create our entire existence. So that really inspired me growing up, just being able to see that, you know, things don't have to be the way that like society or culture tells you. Like, you can innovate on that and you can push those boundaries and break outside of that mold.
No, absolutely. And at UID, we like to say, use your difference to make a difference, right?
Yeah.
And we honestly, the mantra here is, I was telling you earlier how I, as the son of a diplomat, I had to move everywhere. And initially it was hard for me because I was always navigating through different cultures, and I felt like I had to figure out a different accent, a different sport to learn, a different that. And then as soon as I embedded myself and stuck with the process, like you said, my mind started to open. I was able to attack problems from different perspectives. I started to see things with different lenses. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, closed-minded. And I started to notice that in business and everything I was doing, because then I was able to maybe interact with several departments, for one thing. But I was also able to connect and say, well, why don't I attack this problem from a different solution? I saw this happen in Nigeria, where I'm from, and they usually do this type of thing. And it was subconscious. I didn't realize that until I sort of put everything together into the platform. Was that your experience as well?
Yeah, same thing. I really grew fond and appreciated that more later in life, when it started to become really clear that I was different because of those experiences.
Okay. Now, for that nomad out there, the kid that is growing up with, in, you know, whether it's in a mixed family, mixed culture family, and this is his first move, you know, sometimes I get emails and people sending me messages about how it's difficult to make friends and connect. Do you have a tip for him or her?
Yeah, you know, I just like, be yourself, put yourself out there, you know, get out of your head. That's the main thing for me. You know, just I think it's so easy now with technology to find your tribe, like within any place you go to on the planet. You know, there's such great tools to build community and connect with people. So, you know,
get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's, you know, and the more you do that, then the more comfortable you actually end up being. It's so funny how that's ironic, but it works out.
Yeah. Look at each of those times that a situation might feel uncomfortable to you as that stepping stone. Like, every time you go through that, it'll kind of reduce that level of discomfort.
Yeah. So who do you root for during the World Cup?
I usually root for Holland, you know.
you and me, look, so Nigeria doesn't always make it far, so Holland is always my second team.
Yeah, nice.
And I've been there with, you know, when Clivet and all those, I was really rooting for them this World Cup, but, you know, it didn't happen because Robben and them were, I guess, cut short soon in the, was it semifinals or finals? Semifinals, I think, yeah. And then I was always curious about that, because when everybody adapts to different cultures, they always say, I never know who to root for in the World Cup, because I'm from America and America is doing well, but I'm also from Holland. And then, you know, Iran might have made it to the second round. I don't know what to root for. So you said Holland is your team.
Yeah.
Okay. And any fun fact that people don't know about Holland that you can tell? Or Netherlands, really?
Fun fact. Man. I don't know. It's such a beautiful place. I think, you know, it's so interesting, just because in Holland in general, like the perception of it is like, oh, you know, pot's legal there, and, you know, prostitution, all these things, but that's so not like what the country's all about. And, you know, it's funny, like growing up in the US, there were more of my friends smoking pot out here than there were in Holland, even though it was totally legal over there. And, you know, that always surprised me. I was like, well, it's, you know, totally legal and accepted here, but nobody does it. And in, you know, in California, seems like everybody's doing that, you know. So that was really interesting.
I know, it was good. And then the Armenian and Iranian part, did you say
Russian?
That?
Yeah,
Russian part.
Armenian.
What side of that of your family is that?
So that's my dad's side of the family. So my mom's full Dutch. My dad's Russian Armenian. So my my family had been like through a revolution in Russia, moved to Iran, went through a revolution in Iran, left Iran to the U.S. Like, it was they were constantly moving around for a few generations, kind of.
So you, basically just, you know, traveling to, because of the political situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you speak all the languages that your parents speak?
I don't. But I speak enough Dutch to get by, and you know. But I never really picked up Russian or Armenian. It's really complicated for me. So.
All right. I usually ask my guests this question: how do you use your difference to make a difference?
You know, I find my biggest difference is being able to connect dots and find opportunities to, you know, to create new products that are going to have an impact on the world, and to enroll the right people into actually like making that happen. So, you know, how I use that to make a difference is I do it. I'm committed to working on companies that I feel are contributing to like the evolution of humanity, that are helping us create a more sustainable, just like amazing world for everybody. And, you know, so that's how I do it. I do it through my entrepreneurship, through creating. Like, to me, that's my art, and that's how I make a difference.
Well, love it, love it. I mean, it's you're breaking down complex problems, you're making them simple, and then you're connecting, you know, the dots, like you said. So that sounds like really good. Where can we find out more about you, your company? What's to look for, and how should we keep in touch with you via social media?
Yeah, so you can you know, find our company at intently.com. On Twitter, I'm at IntentlyCEO. You can connect with me, follow me on Facebook personally. So it's you know, excited to be out there and sharing with the world, and connecting with all you guys.
Awesome. All right, so we'll put this out there, put this in the show notes, and then we'll make sure we get the word out there so that people can be, you know, subscribe, right, or add it to their websites, and their, it's like a plug-in, and also get the mobile app as well, and then keep in touch with your adventures. And maybe you can, you know, also mentor some of these people out there, because I'm sure some people are reaching out to you about how to get into the startup world, since you've been there several times.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Teo. Really appreciate it. Love being here.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uydmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.